This is Jared O'Brien for the Christians Engaging Culture podcast. Christians Engaging Culture exists to equip Christians to give faithful answers in everyday cultural conversations and to turn those conversations to the gospel. Soon after we released our last episode on parenting tips, Martin Isles shared some more advice from his parents, this time on parenting teenagers. So we thought it would be helpful to share that with you now. If you want to watch more of Martin Isles' excellent episodes of The Truth of It, we've included a link in the episode notes. We hope you find this week's episode helpful.
A little while ago, I did a segment that was a little bit experimental called Top 15 Parenting Tips. Not from me, obviously, but from my parents. And they wrote down their top 15 tips in response to people's requests of me. And that video actually went extremely well. And I said in the video, I made a throwaway line that perhaps we'll have to come up with a tips for teens next time because their parenting tips were all about young children. I got a lot of feedback off the back of that from people saying, please do it. And so it's taken me time, but we've had a family council and I have got my parents to write down a few things. And I've also consulted with my siblings, though I might have promised I wouldn't say this, but I did consult with my siblings to find out what they thought of their experience of being parented by my parents, and we've written down some tips for teenagers. And this segment will be the short one, and then we'll go into the long one. But I just want to say, by way of accreditation, I'm sorry to everyone in the room, but I do have the best parents, and you've all missed out on that. You can have second best, that's fine. But they're excellent people, and they have raised five children. I've got three older sisters, I've got an older brother, all very strong Christians, all very functional members of broader society. Between them, they have 10 children of their own. So I think they are well qualified, and Dad's been an elder and a doctor, and he's been in this sort of pastoral work for many, many years. So the source is a good one. But I also reflect on this from my own experience. There are four principles this time, not 15 tips. And principle number one, well, before we, let's go principle number zero, a starting comment. Dad says that a fatal mistake is to start taking things seriously at the onset of teenage years and rebellion. This is unlikely to work, apart from the superabundant grace of God. Boundaries should be strongest and strictest when the child is youngest, and you can coach the child into adolescence, at which time the boundaries can cautiously and advisedly be relaxed, like the widening of a funnel. The teenage years involve no abandonment of your responsibility as a parent. No magic happens at the age of 18 or at the age of 13, where suddenly they can handle the issues of life overnight. Your job as a parent still continues. Principle number one, start with God. Constantly teach them about God and knowing God, and cut no corners. If you want to keep your child from sin and from going off the rails, the one thing above all else which will protect them is the fear of the Lord. That will do more for them than anything that you can ever do or say. And might I say that rings true from my life. I think of days of testing, as we all have them. I think of days when things could have gone very wrong. And really, it was God who stopped me sometimes. It was God who spoke in those moments. You remember Joseph when he was in Egypt, a young man, probably a teenager. He was away from home. His life was, for all intents and purposes, over. Nobody was watching. What kept him from sin? How can I do this great sin against my God, he said. And that is why Proverbs tells us that it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Some specific points. Mum and Dad say, make it clear by your own practice that the guidelines and standards of your own life come from God. They come from Scripture. Make it clear that that is the final authority for your behavior, for the standards in the home, and for the behavior of your teenager. The three need to be consistent. It needs to start with you. Read the Bible together as a family and explain it. Every father should do this for his family. Have excellent books and teaching resources available in the home and use them. And talk about them and recommend them and read them with your family. We used to do that. I hated it as a kid. You know, after dinner, we'd be sitting there waiting to leave the table and we'd be agitated. And I'd be sitting there going, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. And then Dad would go, oh, why don't we get the Bibles out? And we'd all go, oh. I remember it well. But you know what? It was such a worthwhile and a good thing. And he got us involved. He'd send us away with homework. Answer this question. Answer that question. And we had to do it because You know, you had to do what Dad said. That was the way things were. Here's another one. Never skip church. Growing up, you know, I can actually remember between the age of about 3 and 18, once when I didn't go to church. Once. And I was nigh unto death, to use a King James Bibleism. I was really sick. And I could finally, and you know, even in year 12, I'd be like, I've got this big exam, it's on tomorrow, I'm not ready. And Dad would just say, oh, well, you know, well, the Lord will never let you down for doing the right thing. And you'd know you had to go. Make it part of your family ritual. Pray as a family. Pray with your teenager. And one thing that always stuck in my mind was if ever we left the house for more than a day, my parents would pray with us and pray that we would honour God in our behaviour and what we did. And it stuck in your mind, you know, to leave home on that basis. Something I really remember. Principle number 2, make home the best place in the world. Home should be warm, safe, peaceful and welcoming. A place that is lived in, a place where love covers all. Fathers, this is from Dad, take absolute responsibility for all that happens in your home. The buck stops with you, step up. Be the source of supply for all that the home needs, for the love that your wife needs, the guidance your teenager needs, the restraint and correction your teenager needs. You know, here's an interesting thing. Dad never felt the need to be liked by us. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? He was never that way wired. He wasn't like, well, if I say the wrong thing or I hold up a standard, they won't like me. He didn't care about that. We knew that his standards came from somewhere else. It wasn't from us. We couldn't manipulate him. And on things that he wasn't a harsh father, he wasn't a mean father, but on things that mattered, he was a man of principle. And we knew that there was no bending. And he says, you know, the buck has to stop with someone. Sometimes someone's going to have to be the ogre. Man up, be the ogre when you have to be, Dad's. And he was. But, you know, I like him now, so it must have gone all right. Here's another one. Never allow your teenager to disrespect their mother. Do you know, all of us disrespected Mum once. And our knees knocked together for the rest of the day until Dad got home. Because it was actually probably the cardinal sin of the household. It wasn't allowed. Here's one for mothers. Mum says, put your children first, not your career, your friends, your hobbies, or your likes and dislikes. Do not split on your children by gossiping about them, complaining about them, exposing their faults, or teasing them to other mums. Be more trustworthy than that. Pray for their failings. Don't complain about them. Mothers are giving, self-sacrificial, and prayerful. For both parents, if you quarrel with one another, don't be surprised if your teenager quarrels with you. If the husband disrespects the wife, don't be surprised if the teenager disrespects her. If the wife belittles the husband, don't be surprised if the teenager disrespects him. If you're bad-tempered, don't be surprised if your teenager is bad-tempered. There's a theme. Intimidating as it is, there will be a copy of you. Stay together. When a family breaks down, the teenager is usually the greatest victim. And here's an interesting one. I remember this well growing up. There's a point here about showing hospitality. It says, teach your children to love people who are not like them and interact with those from all walks of life and show them hospitality and open your home. People that are on the fringes, those without many friends, new Christians, people who are the only Christian in their family, new migrants, elderly folk and so forth. Do you know that exposed me to people from so many walks of life? And it taught me so much growing up. And it also showed me that it's not all about me and it's not all about us. There's other people who need us, and who we can serve and love. That was a really important part of growing up. Principle number 3, uphold the rules. Here's an interesting, Dad was making this point as he was musing over this. He said, the greatest temptation and struggle for a teenager is rebellion. You should teach them early that the world will encourage them to rebel. Culturally, rebellion is excused. Peers will say that it is normal. But for the Christian, rebellion is sin. And it is absolutely not okay. It's interesting about Jesus. When I heard this, I thought of Jesus. There's not very much told to us about his childhood, but the singular thing really that's told to us is probably three things in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. One of them is that when he turned 12, which was the age for Jewish boys to come out of childhood, this remark is made. He went and he was in subjection to his parents. Isn't that interesting? There was no rebellion. He was in subjection to his parents as he came into that teenage threshold. Make sure that sin is the worst and most serious thing. Make that your boundary. The most important rules are the ones that matter to God. Focus on them. Openly use scripture to set boundaries and guide decisions. Be united. Dealing with mum must be dealing with dad and vice versa. And mum added this bit, all right, so don't blame me. But she said, when there's real disagreement and you can't resolve something in the moment, dad leads. That was from mum. Keep it simple, stupid. One-liners or Bible verses are far better than verbal diatribes or arguments, which should be avoided. It's interesting, dad would always give a one-liner. Whenever my sister went out, he'd always say, keep your dignity. And that was it. And you know, it stuck in her mind. She still says it today. And I remember so many things that he would just come out with this little one-liner, this pithy, like I said about going to church. Oh, well, if you do the right thing, you'll never be worse off. And he would always have these one-liners, and they were more effective than getting into these tussles and these arguments. Here's one. When I was doing youth ministry, which I did for a long time, this came up a lot. And I struggled with parents who had this problem. Don't fear your teenager. Too many parents compromise because they fear losing relationship. Over things that really matter, hold the line and don't bend. It may be hard and unpleasant for a time, but they will grow to respect you for it. And that is so true. It is so true. And there's the comment I already made before about someone might have to be the ogre from time to time. And here's principle four, which is miscellaneous, just a couple of quick points. One, always be available to talk no matter what. Two, always answer their questions and take them seriously. Three, be totally trustworthy. Keep your teenager's faults, failing, and confidences in the family. Take responsibility as a parent. They don't want a mentor so much as they want you. And here's a really important one to close on. And this is not the reason I'm single, by the way. Just so you know, my siblings are married with kids, so don't worry. This did work. Romance is not a game. Especially in the modern world, relationships are exceedingly serious. You must teach that and act accordingly. Relationships are not to be played with unless marriage is a realistic possibility. Teach your teenager to guard their heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Once the heart is gone, they are gone, and it could lead to happiness or the ruination of their life. Be careful. It's a really important point. And finally, teach them to be wise. This is one thing Dad used to say, one of his other one-liners. He always used to say, with all thy getting, get wisdom. He used to say this all the time. It was one of his favorite things, because he always used to say, wisdom is underrated and underappreciated in the modern world, but it is a really important Christian virtue which several books of the Bible are committed to. And he said, be wise, wait on the Lord, genuinely seek his direction, never be in a hurry, think biblically, pray always. And one of the other things he used to say is, have you prayed about it? Or can you pray about it? And he said, don't do anything until you have that peace in your heart. Really good advice. So those are tips for teenagers from my family, or really my mum and dad, to your family. I trust they were helpful.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Christians Engaging Culture. Until next time, remember what C.S. Lewis said. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else.